is just war still relevant in the 21st century? Not is it right, is it relevant? And I'd like to start with a little experiment. For the sake of this experiment, will you please set to one side whether theoretically there can be a just war or in practice there can be a just war? And allow me to ask you, if there is such a thing as a just war, put yourself in the shoes of thinking that maybe there is a just war. Do you feel that a war of national self-defense or self-defense is the epitome of a just war, or that a humanitarian intervention is the epitome of a just war? This is a very artificial experiment, but if you... Now I'm probably too close to the mic. If for you a war of self-defense seems more like the epitome of a just war, would you raise a hand? If for you the war, thank you everyone, if a war of humanitarian intervention is the epitome of a just war, or more the epitome of a just war, raise your hand. And we have a large number of people who have not raised their hands. If you have not raised your hands, is it for a good reason? Raise your hand. Good. Okay. This is an experiment which one could also ask in relation to the question: do you believe that that war, a just war, truly just war, would be about preventing harm, or do you believe that a truly just war would be about punishing wrongdoing? Preventing wrongdoing in another version. And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands again. It's an experiment that I've done with students, and one finds different responses, partly because students from different countries have a different cultural predisposition. So, Californian students, I found, are very clear that humanitarian intervention is the... In my experience, they'd be quite consistent in saying humanitarian intervention is what a truly just war is, whereas one expects in Britain, I think, in Europe, more... the war of self-defense, that's the more truly just war. And this is an experiment, it's a thought experiment, designed to suggest something to you about what just war is about. It's about thinking about justice, it's about thinking about what feels right to us. So now, whether it's relevant still in the 21st century, arguments about what is justified in war are needed. They change, but they aren't going away. They're needed by armies, by militaries, and they're needed by diplomats and political leaders. They're needed for political legitimacy, for public support for military budgets. They are a democratic requirement, but they're also needed in undemocratic situations. Wherever a government seeks to maintain some version of the military covenant, so binding armies to populations. The government's need and the army's need is that enough of the calculation be clear to us that we will see these wars as necessary wars, as wars that we have to fight. So the presentation of just war theory has to respond not only to some abstract truth, but also to our sense of reason, to our instinct about what is right, what is necessary, and what is reasonable. In the widest range of historical contexts and cultures, there is some systematic attempt at theoretical justification for warfare. And just war theory could be seen as a distillation of this instinctive and political resort to reason in the face of the reality of interstate violence and a wrongdoing, perhaps. The wide range of circumstances in which we find some version of just war thinking, historical, geographic, and cultural, have been a prominent argument for the development of laws of war which are deemed universal, that development being in early modern Europe. at the same time as having a sense that there is a universal law of war, there's some universal basis for the law of war, which is a moral basis. We have the sense that historians will recognize, political scientists will recognize, cultural theorists will recognize that just war theory changes and that it will change. We may speculate about how it may change, how it may continue to change. And if we do so, we'll be thinking about the relationship between warriors, the technology of warfare, and the political and social conditions which equally shape warfare. We can reasonably expect that this kind of just war thinking will last for as long as these forces exist and as long as they use collective force. We may not like it. The general clearly indicated that one can act from within this way of thinking and not necessarily like the reality. This broad tradition of thinking about justification for warfare will survive flagrant abuse. It will survive the oversimplistic use of just war thinking, oversimplification of standards of just war reasoning. So I have a just cause, therefore I have this is a just war, for instance. It will survive the transformation from discrete and decisive battlefield engagements, for which just war theory is often seen to have been developed, into drawn-out conflicts fought amongst civilian populations, which we see increasingly. It will survive the adoption of irregular warfare and terrorist tactics, and it will survive the technological transformation of warfare fought from a distance, for instance, fought by robots, fought by drones, fought by cyber warfare. The more change that armies and governments face, the more they will need a robust just war theory to help to ascertain and to communicate reasonable objectives and means for warfare. We may instead look at just war theory as a well-defined, coherent body of Western moral philosophy, defining just war theory more narrowly, elaborated first in text by theologians and then also by other philosophers, religious or secular. The ways in which we use this body of text as a resource may change. We may come to think, for instance, of the most just war as a war of self-defense, as many have, or instead we may frame our thinking about justice in war in reference to the works of earlier generations, so Augustine's moral realism, Aquinas' natural theology, the prudential scholastic refinements of the Spanish Dominicans of the 15th century, 16th century. When our most sophisticated thinking about justice and warfare is faced with new challenges, just war theorists may return again to these earlier texts to think about them again. So back to Augustine again, to think about the aims of counterinsurgency, counterterrorism, or about humanitarian intervention. Or back to the Spanish scholastics to think again about the meaning of proportional responses, or about what it means to say that warfare has to be a last resort in an age when wars break out without being declared. In this situation, no side needs to determine that the last resort applies because the other side has been deemed to have started the war. Can just war theory face today's problems without fundamental overhaul? Some problems may be deemed to merit new conceptual frameworks without jeopardizing classic formulations of just war theory. And so, an example, wars don't end in the straightforward way that they once did. So that there's a body of theorists interested as a consequence in a jus postbellum. It's seen as an extension of judgments about declaring war and fighting war, and so not undermining the basic conceptual architecture of classic just war theory. Other revisions suggest that we place the tradition under more strain. A body of revisionist theorists argue that soldiers should be held responsible for participation in a war which is judged to be unjust. This undermines a fundamental premise of prior just war thinking in a direction which leads some of these theorists to jettison the just war theory framework altogether. Amongst just war theorists, it is common to argue pragmatically that this rigorous philosophical theory, just war theory, is right and proper even though it is unusual to meet a war which is right, in which right is all on one side, the theory often relies on thinking about justice just in relation to one side. The reality is often much more complicated. Perhaps there is, in that sense, no unambiguously just war. The conceptual tool, according to this school, will nevertheless be useful because the approach we take to thinking about just wars does make a real practical difference to how war is waged. The framing of the just war tradition that we adopt is critical to the judgments we make about contemporary challenges. Just war theory may thus be seen alternatively as a conceptual framework fundamentally designed to prevent or reduce harm, or it may instead be seen as coherent only if it is based on the foundation, on a foundational judgment about the good. So harm reduction can't be the fundamental basis of a just war theory. So if it's the former, then we may settle for a humanitarian intervention on the basis that it is a lesser evil, a contention that is not accepted by all theorists, 2 minutes, but made often in relation to the responsibility to protect doctrine. We may further imagine that a humanitarian intervention can be treated as an optional war, as some have done. On the other hand, if a just war has to be based on a foundational sense of what is good, then surely it has to be truly just war has to be necessary and obligatory, not optional. Optional makes no sense in the framework of fighting for the good. So we're in a phase where we're thinking again about new challenges. We're thinking again about what the framework is, what the just war framework is. And the last challenge that I put to you, which we're still only beginning to think about, and which Professor Bigger raised, is how do we use a theory which is Western, where many of our wars, perhaps most of our wars, will be fought against people who don't share the theory or who don't come from our background. So how do we fight in a Western way against Chinese, Muslim, Orthodox Christians? This is imagining if we're going to fight. I'm not saying let's fight these people at all. So the thinking that we have done is, yes, there are parallels. The thinking that we have done is, yes, we need to talk. The thinking that we're only beginning to do is, what does it really mean to enter the space in which we're talking seriously and listening seriously to the differences between these traditions? Can we listen sensitively and come away with a new sensibility about how we would measure justice or communicate about justice in these contexts? And my contention is that it's really, really difficult. Generalizations about what is similar are not going to help in the very charged situation where political and economic interests push us against each other. And it's very easy to misunderstand or misconstrue the theological basis or the philosophical basis on which we do differ, and we clearly differ in relation to when it is right to wage war, to whether there are beginnings and ends of just wars, to the ways in which one pays for wrongly pursuing a war. And that dialogue really demands the attention of academics and moral philosophers, as well as the practitioners who have entered the space that we civilians don't dare to go. Thank you.